Kowalski.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Some exotic booze, there's a...
We are continuing a conversation that we started at Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland. And we did some overtime. And this overtime is what we're going to share with you now. And that is a visit with my very good friend, Mark Leslie. I want you to remember that much of what we do is also archived at sabrams.com. So you can find the archived audio there. I am so happy to have the luxury of the generosity of your time, Mr. Leslie. It is a pleasure. And there are a number of things we didn't get to talk about in the segment we did originally. So I'm happy that we can produce this overtime segment to continue some of the things we'd otherwise miss out on.
Like all those movies where they show you the outtakes at the end.
Well, something like that.
Often better than the movie.
Well, don't you love to say, you know, it's funny you mention that, because one of my pet peeves is I really feel like, even though I'm not in the film industry, the people that do all the work to bring you some remarkable experience at the cinema deserve the respect of your staying to the end while every one of the names you don't know scrolls by on the screen. And far too many people are getting up and leaving the cinema, the movie theater, the second the film is finished. And there are so many times when my husband and I, and maybe one or two other stragglers, but most of the time it's just us, holding up the popcorn cleaner-uppers who are waiting to get in to clean up after. And at the very end, after all the credits have gone by, there is some hysterical bit that is pulled out from anywhere from 10 seconds to a minute and a half of outtakes or, you know, shots that were done when the camera wasn't supposed to be rolling.
And quite apart from that, the credits themselves are fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
To suddenly discover that Tunisia was actually filmed in Texas, or that it took 23 stuntmen to, you know, fall off the one horse or whatever. Or, oh, my God, that's a version of that Elvis song, you know, sung by somebody completely different. And you know, I mean, there's just so much fascinating information.
And you're right about the locations, because, of course, one of the things I'm most interested in is where was it filmed.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating to find out how many times things that you think are filmed in Africa are filmed in Canada.
Yes, or Boston has stood in for Dublin, or Dublin has stood in for Boston.
Well, you know, we were, just last week, we visited a place that, in theory, makes its money showing people around their silver mine and their lead mine here in Ireland. And when we got there, we were told that there was a film being made on property. But I forgot about that part. And because I was told that 5 or 6 days before we got to the silver mine place. And we got to the silver mine. And the thing about the silver mine is that while it's meant to support the people who live on the property and pay the taxes and feed them, the gold mine on the property is using the land for filming. And the third film of the same film company is in the process of being made there, and Lord knows how many thousands of dollars a day this fellow is paid, so that they can bring on 20 or 30 of these big, they look like, you know what a Winnebago is?
Yes.
These giant
trucks.
Multi-hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Inside, you know, you could move in and live there forever quite comfortably. And they were being used as the changing rooms for the people starring in the films. And then all these other trucks with equipment, you know, and cables. And everywhere you looked, there was a cable that was the size of an elephant's trunk that you had to step over, because there had to be 30 trucks on property. And this is the third film they're making.
Wow.
So it turned out that the gold mine was not the silver mine.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes.
But the punchline is that the story that you will see is meant to have you believe you're in Montana.
Of course.
And it's being filmed in Connemara.
Yeah.
On the west coast of Ireland. Yeah. So, you know, that's a happiness.
The magic of the silver screen.
Yeah, well, but you're very much involved in the magic of... the things that you do as the founder, genius, visionary behind Martello Media, which creates visitor center experiences, not only in Ireland but other places. Churchill, the Power of the Word?
In the Morgan Library,
in the J.P. Morgan Library. That was there for months. The exhibits that are now in Malta at Fort St. Angelo, the Science Museum, and now the Fine Arts Museum there. Exhibits you've done all over Ireland that I'm aware of have been to, where what you've done enhances the understanding of the visitor.
Well, I call myself a narrative architect. I like to find spaces that have a story or tell a story in those spaces, and sometimes they can be real spaces and sometimes they can be virtual. And certainly the TV series link is always interesting. I have the privilege at the moment of working on a place called Ormond Castle, very little known. It's the family, medieval family castle of the Butler family, one of the great sort of warlord, the two warlord dynasties in Ireland.
So let me stop you there. I met a young chap at your sister Sammy's 40th birthday party, which went on for 4 days and three nights. There were 50 of us, including you, who were invited for the whole 4 day, three night event. And then other people were invited Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday brunch, independently, individually, who floated in and out. One of the people I met who was there for the whole shebang was a fellow named David Butler, who has the same birthday as my son, September 16th. And we were randomly seated together at dinner the first night and wound up spending a lot of time over the next 4 days together. And during that time, he gave me the history of the Butler family.
Yes.
So would the castle you're talking about, Oranmore?
No.
Ormond.
Ormond
Castle. Would that be related to Butler's...
He would be a direct descendant of Black Tom Butler.
How did he get this name, Black Tom?
He was dark looking and he probably killed a lot of people in his day. But it's a swashbuckling drama, pure Game of Thrones. You had three dynasties who were cousins struggling for the control of Ireland, the Fitzgeralds, the Butlers, and the new upstart monarchy in England, the Tudors, Welsh people.
Okay, so now where would this have taken place?
Ireland was. Elizabethan England's Vietnam or Afghanistan. Good Queen Bess blew more money, capital, lost more soldiers trying to subjugate Ireland, keep the Spanish out. You know, Britain could not be a superpower unless its Western approach was secured. And this was their Syria, because it was wild tribes beyond the pale, warlords who'd come here to conquer Ireland for England centuries before and had gone native. And then a new centralising dynasty in Ireland trying to control the whole thing. And for those of you who've watched The Tudors or Wolf Hall and the story of Anne Boleyn's grandmother, was Irish. And because of this, the warlord clan, the Butlers, who'd married into the the Boleyn family, by weird quirk of fate, the heir to this Irish castle was a cousin, therefore, of through Anne Boleyn, Queen Elizabeth. So the English kidnapped him as a child, brought him to England, said, "We will educate him to be English, speak English, think English. He will be our Hamid Karzai to help us subjugate our sort of Afghanistan." His two brothers were Irish-speaking, wore Irish clothes, wore Irish dress, and his mother, Margaret Butler, was actually a Fitzgerald from the rival clan of warlords.
So where exactly is Ormond Castle?
Carrick-on-Suir, in the centre of the south of Ireland, okay. And it's the furthest bit up tide, it's a tidal river that the English ships could get. And he had been married off to a rich English heiress who was not faithful to him. She had four different boyfriends. And he said, "If you come to Wild Savage Island, I will build you a glorious Tudorbethan mansion on the style of the great country houses you see in England for you." So he tacked onto the front of this savage medieval castle this glorious mansion with panelling and plasterwork and tapestries, exactly on the style of the great houses of England. It didn't do the trick. She carried on with her four English boyfriends. But
the Fitzgeralds, I want to talk about them. And we're going to take a quick commercial break and pay close attention, come back in a minute or two, and we're going to carry forth, because I have an inkling about the Fitzgeralds that we need to talk about. So don't leave me, people. Talking with Mark Leslie here at Kilronan Castle in Overtime.
Curaçao, the Dutch island with Caribbean and South American flavors blended to tantalize taste buds of foodies, connoisseurs of fine liqueurs, seekers of secluded sandy beach coves for lovers, and lovers of water sports, history buffs seeking European immersion in world history and its UNESCO Heritage City. Shopping for the most sophisticated brand seekers and unique creative handcrafts of Curaçao's artists and artisans. With challenging links golf courses, including one voted 2018's best golf course in the Caribbean by USA Today, and an island with world-class sightseeing experience in abundance. Sun and sand? Lots of it. Year-round, wrapped in warm breezes. Curaçao has everything you want on your next holiday. Visit Curaçao.com and visit Curaçao. A warm welcome awaits you. That's Curaçao.com.
You're invited to Symphony Hall for everyone's favorite holiday tradition. Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops present Holiday Pops all this month. Experience the seasonal classic Home Alone on the big screen with live accompaniment by the orchestra Saturday and Sunday, December 29th and 30th. And don't miss the New Year's Eve party that tops them all, December 31st, with special guest Seth MacFarlane. Tickets are growing fast for weekday, weekend, and matinee Holiday Pops concerts. Call 888-266-1200 or visit bostonpops.org. Sponsored by Fidelity Investment.
Ireland invites you to the Gofibber Fiddler of a Lifetime. Befuddled by Gofibber Fiddler? I'll explain. It's what begins with a lively round of golf at Ballybunion and soon turns into an even livelier round at Belfast's Fibber McGee's, where the fiddler plays on four strings, 2 feet, and occasionally someone's shoulders. Golf, Fibber McGee's, Fiddler. Gofibber Fiddler. An easy word to stumble over and an Ireland easy to stumble into. So take a vacation from the typical vacation.
Find great value vacation offers at Ireland.com.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solutions Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Whether you travel for business, vacations, weekend breakaways, romantic interludes, or family adventures, you'll learn about unique destinations and tips to make your travel smooth, efficient, hassle-free, and inspirational when you listen to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Enjoy our fast-paced show, traveling from beaches to mountaintops, cities to fairy tale castles, whether you're traveling for business or adventure. So pack your bags and join us.
It may have been a messy divorce that cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. We fight for you using our proven experience and insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt, then call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. That's 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
What a lovely way to begin the new year here at Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland on a gorgeous sunny day with the happy thoughts and such positivity that I always feel the aura of just sitting with my good friend Mark Leslie. He's the founder, CEO of Martello Media, a company that creates visitors' experiences. And we're beginning to talk about other places that you have done installations. Let's start with the ones in Ireland. You mentioned the Yeats exhibit, which is remarkable, at the National Library in Dublin, which is very easy to get to. Go there first and then do your shopping so you're not encumbered with bundles. But it's right near all the great shopping in Dublin and everything else there is to see. But you've done
a few
three others that I can think of now. Let me see if there's more that I'm leaving out. The Irish Whiskey Museum, the General Post Office, and Glasnevin Cemetery.
Yes.
Anything else in that region that you've done?
Well, those would be, I mean, we did quite a lot of work on the Guinness Storehouse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But certainly I'd mention the General Post Office.
Let's start with that.
Yes.
What makes that special?
The General Post Office was a symbolic, it looks like a Grecian temple. It's in the middle of the widest street in Dublin. And because it was the centre of communications for the whole island, 100 years ago, 101 years ago now, the revolutionaries, who are effectively the founders of the modern Irish state, staged a coup, if you like, a rebellion, and seized that building. It would be equivalent to seizing the television station today. It was a terrible shock. It wasn't expected. And in a piece of sort of political theatre, they read the proclamation of the Irish Republic, the principles, if you like, the title deeds of which our modern constitution are based, very much equivalent to the American Declaration of Independence.
This had been April of 1916.
And against all the odds, a small band of about 1,000 half-trained civilian volunteers held the capital city, Dublin, against overwhelming forces. 20,000 British soldiers with heavy artillery and gunboats. And though inevitably the British succeeded at certainly in destroying the city centre of Dublin and burning the post office down, forcing the rebels to surrender, their military failure turned into huge political success because effectively, the British then wrote the blueprint of how to turn a disaster into complete catastrophe, which is...
It was a massacre. It was a bloodbath.
Yes. They covered their failure, as so often happens, with thousands, by arresting thousands of innocent people who were not involved in the real rebellion, so that they didn't look... that they'd been made sort of monkeys of by such a small number of people. And then they made the mistake of imprisoning for over a year several thousand innocent Dublin citizens, along with a couple of hundred surviving rebels, who naturally turned the prison camp in Wales into a university of revolution. And then a year into it, they let them all out again, released them back into the wild, and wondered why they had a much, much bigger problem on their hands second time round, because those very irate citizens came back and staged an independence war.
Now, the General Post Office, in its abbreviated way, the GPO, what is the name of the street that it's on, that big street?
O'Connell Street.
Okay, and O'Connell Street, of course, is named for Daniel O'Connell, who was, in essence, the George Washington of... Dublin and of Ireland, and was very much revered, and is also a key factor, a key presence at Glasnevin Cemetery, which is used to be the outskirts of Dublin, is very much part of Dublin today. But before we get away from the GPO, it really is similar to... I guess the story of the Alamo, because there was no escape for the people that were in that building.
Oh, they were doomed. And by the
How do architects build buildings without back doors?
Well, there was a back door, but if the street behind you is on fire and being raked by a machine gun fire, by and large, they sort of got out and could have fought on, but their leader, Patrick Pearse, realised that he was in one of the most densely inhabited slum areas of Dublin, and that many hundreds, if not thousands, civilians would lose their lives if they continued the battle, not in a heavily sandbagged, fortified Alamo-type building, but randomly street-fighting through an inhabited area where ordinary people had no chance of escape. Now, ironically, Daniel O'Connell, who's probably the real founding father of an independent Irish state, and was one of the great forerunners of all of the civil rights leaders, the Martin Luther Kings and the Mahatma Gandhis, all sought inspiration. He was a great believer in non-violence. He said, the altar of liberty totters if it's only cemented with blood. And he would have been appalled at the 1916 Rising and heartbroken that it had to come to that level of violence for Ireland to get its freedom, because he came 70 years earlier than he came within an ace of getting Ireland home rule peacefully. And it was only that his premature death and the onset of the Irish famine broke the spirit of the Irish at that time, because he had successfully achieved full civil rights for Irish Catholics and thought that he would regain Ireland's constitutional rights as at least a semi-independent country within the British Empire. So I would be a much bigger fan of Daniel O'Connell, who was certainly famous all around the world. When the Belgians were given independence, they said, "Who would you like to be your king?" "Daniel O'Connell," they said. When the great Frederick Douglass fled America because he was under danger of being repatriated back down to the south under the laws, where did he get his big welcome? In Ireland. Daniel O'Connell staged a rally of 30,000 people and welcomed Frederick Douglass to Ireland as the Daniel O'Connell of America, who would achieve full civil rights and equality for the black Americans. And it was a very proud moment when Frederick Douglass's granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, Nettie Douglass, arrived in Ireland.
Nettie Washington Douglass.
Yeah.
Her great-grandfather was Booker T. Washington, and her great-great-grandfather was Frederick Douglass. So you're talking about American royalty, really.
Double royalty, yes, because on her mother's side and her father's side,
yes,
she had that amazing connection. And she, I must say, was a very gracious wonderful person and spoke most movingly. And Frederick Douglass, when he landed in Ireland, took a taxi, a Jarvie coach. He landed in Cork. And the taxi driver just chatted to him as if he was a white person. He said that was the first moment where he felt truly free.
Well, in his writings, he mentions that the first time he, Frederick Douglass, talking about himself, it was the first time he felt that he was a man and not a black man.
Yes,
it was when he arrived in Ireland.
And Nettie, very movingly, said she knew nothing about Ireland except her grandfather's account. And she gets into the taxi in Dublin Airport, and the same, obviously the great-grandson of the same taxi, coach driver, just chatted to her way as if she was a friend or a neighbour, the way Irish cabbies
and But this would have been a horse-drawn something.
No, just an ordinary cab at the airport. Oh, she just gets in.
Oh, you're talking about Nettie?
Nettie, yes.
Oh, I'm talking about Frederick.
Yes, Frederick gets into a horse-drawn.
He would have, you know, when we talk about a cab, we would have been talking about a horse-drawn...
Exactly, it's 18.
We'll be right back, people. Don't leave me. Talking with
It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Take your next trip outside big city limits and see more of what New York has to offer. A world of natural beauty, culture, wineries, charming historic towns, outdoor adventure, and delicious locally sourced cuisine await you when you board your Amtrak train in New York City or anywhere along the Hudson Valley route to Albany and beyond, where a wealth of natural wonders await you. Choose from several Amtrak routes that reach all corners of New York State. Take in the beauty of Niagara Falls and Lake Placid or head for Montreal, all while taking advantage of your 15% savings. While enjoying spacious seats, easy boarding, and free Wi-Fi. That's the comfort and convenience of traveling with Amtrak. After you book and save 15% on your next trip, visit NewYorkByRail.com for additional destination information to plan activities for your visit. Plan your Amtrak 15% savings getaway today. Restrictions and blackout dates apply. For details, visit Amtrak.com.
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to BizVod.com and join today.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s, or you can get protected with CarChecks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call CarChecks now at 800-958-5207, 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit GetProtected.com. That's GetProtected.com.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to GreatHealthyWater.com. HydroCare will eliminate limescale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to GreatHealthyWater.com. That's GreatHealthyWater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home. Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
While in the merry month,
it's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
In County Roscommon, in the Republic of Ireland, on a gorgeous winter day. Check out the sun, it's lovely. And I am here with my encyclopedic friend, Mark Leslie, who is the CEO and founder of Martello Media, a company that is always up to its neck in creating yet again another wonderful visitor's experience at some attraction somewhere in the world. So if you have an attraction that needs some perking up, you might want to be talking with them because the work they do is genius. And also a member of the family, the Leslie family, from Castle Leslie in County Monaghan, the place where Paul McCartney got married. And so many other wonderful events take place at a fine equestrian center, and it's just a grand place. You'll love it there. So we were talking about embattled families and Ormond Castle.
Yes.
What years would we be talking about?
Ormond Castle is a 12th, 13th, 14th century castle. But what it's famous for is this extraordinary mansion that was built onto the front in 1565. Now, for people who aren't familiar with the ins and outs of Irish history, the 16th and 17th century were very fraught. It was the final conquest and destruction of the Gaelic order in Ireland. People were lucky if they had a kind of medieval tower house to live in. And it wasn't until the total pacification of Ireland under the Anglo-Irish ascendancy in the 18th century that people began building fine houses. So to suddenly come across this great stately mansion on the best English style with its wonderful plaster ceilings and its panelled long galleries, something, you know, like Hatfield House or whatever in England, something that you'd see in the Tudors or Wolfe Hall or all those movies about Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, is quite a shock. In fact, most people aren't even aware it exists.
Now, is Ormond Castle open to view? Is it a museum place?
It is completely open to the public. It's in state care, and the Irish state have spent the last 50 years lovingly putting it back into its original order.
What is the town that it's in?
Carrick-on-Suir.
Carrick-on-Suir. Yeah. And what is the closest other town to it we'd know?
Near Waterford.
Okay.
You know, on the beautiful Suir River. And suddenly there's this stately English house where probably all of the brocades and damask were shipped over from England. It was about as far up river as the tide could take it. So it was a beachhead for English political power and culture, and the English attempt to say the only way we can conquer Ireland is have one or more of the two warlord clans, the Fitzgeralds and the Butlers, who were sent hundreds of years previously, came in the 11th or 12th century, married Irish girls and turned native. And we've got to get at least one of those warlord clans on our side if we're to extend the royal authority. And as by pure happen chance, the heir to the Earldom of Ormond, Black Tom Butler, was a second cousin of Queen Elizabeth I and had been brought over to England and educated in the same classroom as Prince Edward, who the young infant son of Henry VIII, who when he died, there was a counter-reformation and Bloody Mary and King Philip II came into Spain. So by default, he'd been made a Protestant and taught English, and he shared the dangers. When Elizabeth and he were young teenagers, they could have been beheaded on any excuse, because Elizabeth
nasty business
was the daughter of Protestant Anne Boleyn, and the Queen Mary was the daughter, you know, of Catherine of Aragon. So with their shared danger, they had
a great... Catholic.
Yeah.
And the sister of the King of Spain.
Well, they had a great bond. So this Irishman came back to claim his inheritance and used it to do for the Fitzgeralds. There was a huge battle at Achillane where they were fighting each other, and the Queen summoned the two Fitzgerald brothers and the three Ormond boys and said, "You can't be fighting each other. You are my subjects. I'm your new sovereign liege lord. You must turn around and fight the wild Irish beyond the wall, beyond the pale." It's all very Game of Thrones. But he managed to say, no, it was their fault. And the two Fitzgeralds were locked in the Tower of London. And it triggered a huge uprising of the Fitzgeralds called the Desmond Wars.
Okay, stop. Stop. Which brings us to what I was going to ask you, I mentioned in the last segment, the Fitzgeralds. I have loving, fond memories, may he rest in peace, of Desmond Fitzgerald, the 29th Knight of Glynn. And Fitzgerald spelled capital F and capital G in one word, designating a direct lineage to the real deal. The Castle Glynn is located on that strip of land along the Shannon River estuary, the narrow strait of water that goes out and meets the Atlantic. And the castle, the oldest parts of the castle, were built 800 years ago.
Yes, well, these are exactly the Fitzgeralds.
These are the guys. Well, and you said the Desmond Wall.
Yes.
You know, and Desmond Fitzgerald is, yes. I mean, it's what, a year and a half, 2 years now that he's passed on?
Well, the Fitzgeralds, there was the Leinster Fitzgeralds, who became the great dukes of Leinster, and their close cousins, the Desmond Fitzgeralds, because there was a dukedom, they were the Earls of Desmond, it was a reason. So not surprisingly, a common first name is to be called Desmond Fitzgerald, after the area that they effectively were become from English conquerors, they turned into Irish kings.
But you know the sad part of that? It became clear with Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, his daughter, with Anne Boleyn, that a woman could become queen. Desmond Fitzgerald, the recent, not hundreds of years old, Desmond Fitzgeralds from the past, had five girls.
Yes.
He has at least one or two grandsons that I know of, but he had five daughters. And I remember him lamenting to me that he is the 29th Knight of Glynn and the last Knight of Glynn. I said, well, how can you be the last knight? You know, what about your grandsons? Nope. Can't skip a generation. Well, how about your daughters? No, a woman cannot inherit the title of knight. I said, listen, if you could have a queen instead of a king, why can't you have a knightess or something? Or better still, a
and
knight out.
Under the Gaelic Brehon laws, the Irish, no problem having a female leader. Many of the toughest women in Irish history, Grace O'Malley, you know, the pirate queen, queen...
Go Grace!
Yeah, you know. But the Anglo-Normans were French, very conservative, old-fashioned, and things could only go through the male line, which caused terrible problems for England, like the civil war between Queen Matilda and whoever who was the rightful eldest daughter. But a cousin said, no, we can't have a woman. And Queen Elizabeth, there was shock horror. But Henry only had two daughters. So first it went to Mary and then it went to Elizabeth. And it was not at all certain that she would be able to hold England together. There were all these powerful dukes of Northumberland. And our hero, the builder of Ormond Castle, backed her. He was very fond of her. They were close cousins. And at a time when her rule was very shaky, it wasn't clear what a tough, intelligent, wise ruler she would turn into, backed her and branded the whole castle. There's plaster ceilings of her coat of arms, her initials, his initials intertwining. And she adored him for his loyalty at a time when it wasn't at all clear she'd be able to keep the throne.
How does a traveller coming to Ireland interface with all this history at Ormond Castle, and you've thrown out mentions of the TV series, The Tudors, Game of Thrones,
Wolf Hall.
The Wolf Hall.
Yeah.
How does all that fit together in a puzzle?
Well, they will come to Ormond Castle when it reopens.
When will that be?
In May or June of this year.
2018.
Now, it always had excellent guides who tell you the stories and bring you round. But they will be coming back to all of the grand rooms, which had got damp and neglected, because it was a dower house. The butlers went on to build a great Kilkenny castle, and they rather neglected. And it was never destroyed, but it was sort of slowly falling down.
What does a dower house mean?
It's where you put
the old lady,
you know, when the lord dies, the dowager lady gets sent off so that the new young lord can take it.
Who was the woman that Maggie Smith played in Downton Abbey?
Yeah, well, she was the dowager or something. Yes.
So, but she had a very fine Georgian-looking house.
Yes. Well, you often had a fine dower house. So Ormond Castle was a dower house and was falling down. And so, miraculously, had it been the main castle, they would have long since ripped out all the Elizabethan interiors and upgraded it in the 18th and 19th century.
And gone to something trendy and fashionable for the period.
Yes. And all the original timbers were there. A lot of the plaster had fallen down, but there was enough for them to create moulds off it and put it all back as it was. So it's astonishing. But what we will do, the fairy dust that we will, is tell the story of
Martello Media.
Because we will make the movie, you know. We will do the animated Game of Thrones type tapestry showing how the Fitzgeralds and the Tudors intersected, intermarried, and how, at the height of the Desmond Wars, Black Tom's two brothers and his mother were fighting for the Fitzgeralds against Queen Elizabeth.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and come right back talking with Mark Leslie. Always a fascination. Stay with me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
He was almost tired of the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt ahead and turn her down.
Have you ever spread rumors? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Since its publication, my new novel, Rumors, has consistently received 4- and 5-star ratings from book reviewers and smashing comments about it being a juicy intrigue, a fast-paced read worth rereading, and a compelling story filled with love, lust, mystery, greed, and a whodunit, all wrapped up in rumors that sweep through a community. One review starts out with the words, "Holy wow!" You can find Rumors in print and ebooks at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers globally. The first copy of Rumors was sold in Australia last month. You can read the first 7 chapters by clicking on Rumors' book cover at Amazon, which you can reach directly by going to sabrams.com/rumors. That's sabrams.com/rumors. Rumors. Read it or we'll start rumors about you. Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog and at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Americans are going crazy for a new Italian diet pill that burns 3 times more fat than dieting alone. And the next 100 callers get 3 bottles for free. Sold under the brand name Invigorate 3X, this powerful pill triggers metabolic acceleration, a process that's deficient in most Americans, making weight loss a hassle. But a new study shows 30 pounds gone in 90 days with just 2 capsules a day. Julie B. of Nashville says, "I was skeptical, but when I saw a famous doctor made it, I decided to try it. I was shocked. I lost 16 pounds in 6 weeks. For a limited time, our listeners get 3 free bottles with a qualifying order. Call 1-800-932-1789 now to get started. Call in the next 10 minutes and also get a free bottle of the Doctor's Ultra Detox. And don't forget your free 14-day diet fix. No obligation and 100% free when you call right now. 800-932-1789.
800-932-1789.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Gloriously gorgeous sunny day overlooking the lake and the beautiful grounds in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland with my very good friend Mark Leslie. We were talking about the exhibit at Glasnevin Cemetery in Dublin. When you leave the exhibit area, you're actually out in the cemetery, and like Père Lachaise in Paris, you will find so many of the civil rights leaders, political leaders, authors, musicians,
artists,
people of all sorts, who are buried there in Glasnevin Cemetery. And when you enter the exhibit, the first thing that struck me was that there are the symbols that bring to mind specific religions, and I think there's about 80 of them, different symbols in recognition of the religions of at least 80 different religious backgrounds of people who are buried in the cemetery. And I'd like you to just share with our audiences why this is important, because the underlying reason that Daniel O'Connell felt compelled to have a cemetery where anyone, regardless of their religious background or their lack of religious background, could be buried.
Well, the British had cunningly used religion to divide and rule in Ireland and to keep the Catholic majority in terms of semi-slavery in terms of their civil rights. I won't sort of bore you with the details, but at the very level, they couldn't even have their own cemeteries. They could not say the prayers of their own religion over the dead, and you were fined for dying. It cost you £5, which was like equivalent to sort of $500 today, or maybe even $5,000 to die. It was a tax, and that went to educating Protestants, while they, in contrast, for most of that period, were not allowed to even learn to read or write, much like black slaves in America. It was illegal to teach them to read or write. So
it was more than illegal.
Yeah.
If an individual were caught teaching an Irish Catholic child to do reading, writing, arithmetic, they were subject to immediate execution.
Yes, and therefore it was extraordinary generosity of spirit that Daniel O'Connell defied the authorities, saying, "I am opening the cemetery. And fear not, it will not be a Roman Catholic cemetery. It'll be bigger than that. It will be a cemetery for people of any religion or no religion, which was pretty advanced thinking for the 1820s.
No kidding.
And as a result of that, right-minded people of all faiths, including the official established Protestant church, that technically by state law everyone belonged to and had to pay tithes, whether they were a Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Methodist, as far as the state was concerned, you were in the Church of England or you weren't, you know, and that was it, whether you liked it or not. And right-minded Protestants of the Church of England said, I want to be buried in this man's cemetery. So it was the first multicultural and multi-denominational institution in Ireland. And let's face it, the religious issue still has bedeviled Northern Ireland, you know, for many years since. So to think that in the 1820s, people of all political and religious persuasions flocked to show their support for the principle of a secularist cemetery where you could celebrate your faith. So there's Muslims buried beside Jews, there's Catholics next to Protestants, Buddhists, and our exhibition, we show what were the funerary rites and prayers of these people and what happens to you after you die. We have a whole interactive animated computer wall where you can see, which you very seldom find out, you know, what do the Seventh-day Adventists or the Mormons think happened to you when you die? But it represents all the people that are buried there. And politically, we have dead and wounded soldiers who are buried there fighting for the British Empire, Irish heroes who fought for independence, leaders of both sides in our civil war. So can you imagine if you went to Arlington Cemetery and had civil rights leaders, black from the South, next to Governor Wallace, Robert E. Lee buried next to Abraham Lincoln, George Washington buried next to General Burgoyne. So all of Irish history and all its glory is represented there. So I would say it's the best day out in a cemetery in all of North Dublin. And the irony is that we are all united in death and all lie beside each other in death.
Yeah, and you've got Michael Collins' grave with monument almost immediately when you exit the visitor center experience. And if you haven't seen the film Michael Collins, I think it was made in the 1980s, it's with Liam Neeson and I think Alan Rickman played Eamon De Valera. Yeah. And Liam Neeson played Michael Collins.
And Julia Roberts plays the love interest.
Yeah, you really have to see this film.
But he was a great romantic hero and had awayed the benefit of dying young in his prime. So he is of huge interest. His grave is covered with flowers.
Every day.
Every day from women.
Every day. People bring fresh flowers there. It's remarkable.
With his archenemy, his leader of the other side in our civil war, who made the mistake of surviving the civil war and going on to lead the country very ably for many decades, Eamon De Valera, I think at 4 o'clock every evening, one elderly lady comes and spits on his grave.
Oh, my goodness.
Who must have lost a relative in the Civil War.
My goodness. Maybe that was more information than I needed.
Yes. Well, you know, it's still rather delightful that these long dead still matter, you know.
Well, yeah.
Even to care enough to spit on the grave.
The stories and the emotion linger on.
Yeah.
And you know, 100 years ago is a long time on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's people remembering stories that their grand told them when they were 4.
Yes, it's the twinkling of an eye.
That's it. So, you know, the stories are still very much alive and with us, and the wounds are quite deep.
I mean, I'm only a 60-year-old, 65-year-old, but I was lucky enough to meet the late, great Eamon De Valera, and my beloved Uncle Jack, who only died 2 years ago in his 100th year,
Sir
was
John
able
Leslie.
To recount very direct, living experiences of meeting Michael Collins and how being disappointed because he was the great Irish Pimpernel, the terrorist leader who could just vanish into the ground, master of disguise, and saying he was a bit disappointed when a rather tired-looking civil servant in a trilby hat and a crumpled Macintosh said, oh my God, he's so ordinary-looking, and they saying, that was his secret. That's how the Scarlet Pimpernel escapes. He looks like an insurance salesman. He gets through every military checkpoint, on his bicycle.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing, and you can find the archived interview at sabrams.com. Eamon O'Queeve, who is now a minister for the Galway-Connemara region in the Irish government. And he is the grandson of Eamon de Valera. And
born in New York, in relation to that.
Eamon O'Queeve was 26 years old when his grandfather died.
Yeah.
And they were very close.
Yeah.
And so he has wonderful stories to tell. He's roaming everywhere telling them. And you'll find it all at sabrams.com. We've run out of time. Well, for those of you on radio, stay with us. For TV, come back next week.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.